Money FM 89.3, best of drive time. In the spotlight on Money FM 89.3.
Money FM 89.3, good afternoon. It is drive time. I'm Elliot Danker. Time now for In the Spotlight. Now, today we're talking about this. Governments and businesses across Southeast Asia, they've been busy during the COVID-19 pandemic, opening all sorts of tourist attractions, right? This is really a post-COVID tourism bound, if you could look at it that way. What better way to attract holidaymakers from all over the world than theme parks? Yeah, countries like Malaysia, Thailand, they've been stepping up their game with exciting new theme and amusement parks. Closer to home, Singapore is also making headway with expansions of its integrated resorts. So with theme parks sprawling all over Southeast Asia, you can now drop by a different theme park every month if you're into that sort of thing. Taking a look at all these options, could it be challenging to create attractions that stand out and attract visitors to the country especially? Let's try and get a better understanding of the theme and amusement park scene in the region. On the line with me is Jun Ko, who is Executive Director and Vice President, IAAP. PA Asia Pacific Operations. June, good afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon, Elliot.
Thanks a lot for taking the time. Theme parks, what an exciting conversation. But, you know, we did see the importance of theme parks and what it adds to business propositions, especially the likes of Disney, right, during the COVID-19 pandemic. Give us a better understanding of how bad the situation was, how bad these businesses were affected.
Our industry was really affected by plunging about 67% during the pandemic. It was really, really bad for our industry. But the good thing is people have realized throughout the COVID times that they really need to be together. They need to have fun. So we're bouncing right back up. And right now, throughout the world, we're seeing a bounce back in the U.S. and in Europe better than the pre-pandemic times. So it's very likely that we're seeing a really big bounce back in APAC too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not limited to just the impact on the rides and the attractions or maintenance, if you look at it that way. There's a bit of a multiplier effect where community impact is concerned.
Absolutely. We have the ecosystem of the tourism sector that we work with. So besides hotels and restaurants and other sectors that also work closely with us, the theme park industry really carries the tourism industry further forward. We bring extra days to the hotel nights. It's not only about visiting one location for a restaurant for one experience. It's multiple experiences.
I have been to a Japan one where there's a bit of a theme hotel in Disneyland. Exciting stuff, that one. Pardon me if I split the world into two halves, right? This part of the world, the Asian side, and of course the Western side, both recovered from COVID differently. Where the theme park industry is concerned, are we seeing the same difference here?
Yes, it definitely is a huge difference, especially in APAC. As we know, we have huge drivers of tourism in the APAC region, and China being one of the larger drivers of international tourism within this region. With their lockdowns, it's been very difficult to attract international tourism, inbound tourism, especially in locations in Asia Pacific. And so whilst the Western world were able to bounce back a lot quicker, we're just seeing the bounce back start to ramp up right now.
All right, June, let's talk about theme parks in the region that are planning several expansions. I mean, we've got Super Nintendo World, Universal Studios Japan. Yes. And, you know, what I really want to know is how theme parks have changed since the pandemic. How have they evolved their so-called value proposition?
It is not the same anymore. We are definitely not going back to pre-pandemic. We're back and we're better. No matter how we do our events and how we do our different kinds of entertainment, now we're looking at ways that we can introduce more gamification. Okay. We need to introduce more AI-driven immersive experiences. There's a lot of different immersive experiences that people want to really feel on an individual level and not only on a group level. So we really need to dig deeper, understand the different generations that are coming in, and also multiple generations in one location. Right. So it is becoming more and more difficult, but more and more challenging brings a lot of good opportunities. And that's why IAPA, we're going to be hosting an expo right there in MBS, right in Singapore, in your backyard.
You know what? Tell me a little bit about this exhibition. What can we look forward to?
We are a global association. So when we're looking at hosting an expo anywhere in the region, we're really hosting an international expo in the region, and right. we're the only international association for the attractions industry. Okay. We're looking to bring 8,000 to 10,000 B2B professionals from the attractions industry, all to look at how to make your experience at theme parks and water parks and attractions a whole new level and a whole lot better than it has been before.
That's very interesting. So it's basically helping people to make their theme parks better. I'm curious, so what do customers want? I mean, I know for me as a customer, I'm only concerned about my fast pass, which in some theme parks, which are so popular, fast pass is useless. What are customers watching out for?
And so why do you want that fast pass? It's because you want the personalized experience.
Okay.
You want to not wait in lines all yes. the time. But when you're waiting in lines, you want to have a good experience waiting in line. It's probably not fun to wait in line and just wait in line and have nothing to do. But when we're introducing AI-driven experiences, when we're introducing theater experiences and gaming experiences whilst you're waiting, then you might want to wait in line a little bit longer to be able to experience some of that gamification. So there are different ways that we can engage. And I have seen other industries also leverage on our gamification and our different kinds of innovations from the attractions industry, in the restaurant industries, in the hotel industries. And that's why we work so closely in this tourism ecosystem to make things better.
It's very interesting, right? The way the world has evolved. I mean, you look at marketing, you look at social media, and now, of course, we're talking about attractions, where we have talked about how people have shorter attention spans, yet at the same time, we're trying to make sure we get them engaged for as long as possible.
Indeed. It sounds like a double-edged sword, but in actual fact, you are really making experiences a lot deeper, a lot more meaningful. Okay. Right now, people are looking at things that touch them in different ways. They don't want only the peripheral and the simple experiences and just to have fun. They need to also interact with each other. COVID really locked us down and kept us to ourselves. And it made us realize a lot of things. Family is important. Hanging out with your friends is very important. And so being able to go to a location where you can share an experience together is going to be much more important as we move along. Mental health has been an issue globally because of the pandemic. And what do we do in our industry? I'm really proud to be working in this industry because we bring fun. We help alleviate these issues. And so that's why every time we bring an expo back into Singapore, I feel really, really energized and excited because I know the Singapore government also very much supports the tourism industry. They invest in different areas and different new attractions and expansion in Sentosa is definitely going to be a very exciting one. Mm-hmm. So look out for more in Singapore.
I'll share with you a secret. Decades ago, as I was struggling to get into the radio industry, I told myself, you know what? I want to be in entertainment. I'll go work in a theme park. I was prepared for that. We could have been colleagues. We could have been. If we were to take Singapore as a case study, Marina Bay Sands, Resorts World Sentosa, what do you see in terms of growth opportunities for these two tourist hotspots?
Mm-hmm. These areas are retail areas also, and there are also experiences that are not only attractions related. Mm. So the merge of the retail entertainment as well as some of the other sectors that come together is going to be very important. We see this trend in other locations too. It's not only singular to Singapore, but I think when we look at such a small, tight location like Singapore with a smaller population, it's important to be able to attract the inbound tourism into Singapore also. And so the more night stays through wellness programs, through retail entertainment, through different kind of AI experiences, I think we'll be able to elongate the stay a little bit more and be able to bring more really quality tourism dollars. But look at sustainability, how to make that story a little bit better when you're staying somewhere. How do you make the feeling a little bit better when you're actually staying somewhere that is close to heart and gives you a sense of well-being? That's really important for the future.
Yeah, because I look at the value proposition, it can be a bit tricky, right, to introduce these fresh elements. And then you've got your Japans and all that, that's got Ghibli Studios, Super Mario Brothers. People start thinking, okay, what can Singapore offer? So maybe more of a technology engagement type of experience then.
Yes, technology, and also I think Singaporeans have also during COVID embraced a lot of the outdoor activities,
right?
Because you had to become outdoors. And so the outdoor activities, enjoying some of the new locations, the refreshing of you know, the Singapore Zoo with the upcoming 50th anniversary,
yeah.
I think will be really, really, it will be a new experience for foreigners as well as Singaporeans alike.
Mm. Okay, so I'm going to try something here. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about Singapore and how it's trying to be a hub for all things.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the notion of Singapore being a hub for roving exhibition? For example, there's the Van Gogh exhibition. Does that fall into this bracket of attractions? Does it help Singapore make Singapore a lot more attractive for tourism?
I think you guys are in a great location. I mean, Singapore, just in the map and the geography of things, is right smack in the middle, in between Australia, right in Southeast Asia, and can also attract from Northern Asia. So being in that location geographically already brings together a lot of different kinds of synergies, a lot of different thought processes that come to it. So I think there's such a large opportunity and future for Singapore to be able to expand in art and expand in theater and expand in this different kinds of because art and entertainment is also becoming quite something that's popular.
Yeah.
And although we have, you know, great museums in Japan, you're right, they have great culture, great museums, a lot of locations do. But Singapore is a mix of so many different cultures that it makes it really unique to be able to bring all the different cultures together and bring something that's very Singaporean and very, very unique to Singapore. It's easy to get to from Australia, easy to get to from Southeast Asia, so why not Singapore?
Well, that's a really good point. I've been speaking with Jun Koh, who is Executive Director and Vice President for IAAPA Asia Pacific Operations. Jun, I appreciate your time. You take care and have a great Tuesday evening, yeah?
Thank you, Elliot. Have a great day.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.